Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm taking your calls and helping you navigate your sex and relationship questions. Topics include what to do when the sex has died in your relationship, how to get over anal anxiety, what to do when your partner isn't as fresh as a daisy, why enhancing intimacy in your relationship will lead to better sex, and why we should all stop being so hard on our sexual selves, myself included. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
To his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. You can easily subscribe to our podcast. You can now listen to us on iHeartRadio. God, there are so many podcast platforms now. Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud, all those things. I love it. And you guys, we got some great blogs on our site I think you'd really like. You should check it out. You guys, we're updating it all the time. And this one is trending this week. You guys love this one. Ethically sexy porn with a plot. This is for women of the world who want porn worth watching. We've got some great recommendations, so check that out. Okay, guys, if you didn't already know, here at Sex with Emily, August is Alternative Sex Month. And of course, we're having a contest, kind of like our Masturbation Month contest, which was amazing. You guys sent in so many cool submissions, and we're doing it this month. We're celebrating how you're moving out of your comfort zone. How are you exploring new things or sensations? You know, are you opening a dialogue with your partner about stuff that you want to try in bed? Or are you trying new things that make you feel really good about yourself? Are you touching yourselves in different ways? You know, what's outside your sexual box? I want to know. Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com and we will pick four winners who will receive amazing sexy prizes. And beloved, if you're brief, I mean, if you're too brief, but the Masturbation Month submissions, while amazing, it took us a month to read them all. Because we read them all. We love them. So be brief, but, you know, detailed, but brief. How's that? Thank you. Can't wait to hear from you. And always follow me on social media. We love hearing from you. I love hearing from you. I read all of your snaps, all your posts, everything. It's awesome. So it's at Sex with Emily, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter. Yeah, that's what we got for you. I'm ready to get into the show, you guys. We've got some great calls lined up. If you have a question you want me to answer on the show, that is amazing. We make it so easy for you guys. Just text me. It's so easy. You just text Ask Emily one word to 797979, and then immediately you get a link back. And when you get that link, you can fill out the form, submit your question, and it's easy. And you can also do it on the website, of course, at sexwithemily.com via the Ask Emily tab. And as always, include your gender, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And we're so excited to hear from you. Okay, we have Rose. She's 24 from Tampa, Florida, and she wants to talk about how to get her partner to take a shower before sex. Hi, Rose. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
I'm so good. Happy to be talking to you. So tell me about what's going on.
So I started having sex with this guy a few months ago, on and off. And last time we had sex, I was going down on him and I noticed it kind of smelled, not smelled a little funky, but like after a day.
Yeah.
So how do I ask him to like take a shower?
Right. I get it. I mean, this is a really, really great question because I think a lot of people are like, oh my God, they deal with this or they just kind of plow through it. I think that the best thing is just like, let's take a shower together. Like you probably, maybe you already have showered. You're like, I don't want to shower again, but that could be a great way to do it and say, I think it'd be hot if we took a shower right now. Was that something you'd be comfortable saying or you don't want to be a part of it? You just want him to shower?
I don't think we've been having sex long enough for that, for me to be comfortable enough to ask him to take a shower. You know? I don't know.
Okay. Because I'm thinking he's your casual, it's casual sex and sex in the shower can be fun. So you could be like, why don't we jump in the shower? And if you're not comfortable with that, see, here's the thing that message I want to get out there is that you're not wrong, Rose. I think that for men and for women, when you're having sex, and I didn't learn this until like a little bit, like probably until, I don't know, a little bit later, or I would have been better to learn it earlier, that before you have sex with somebody, you should wipe down. You should, if you think it could happen, it might happen. You go in the bathroom, you use some soap and water, use a towel and just wipe down. And so I feel like this is common knowledge, but apparently it's not, because I hear about this all the time. What does he do for a living? Does he come over after he's working all day? Like, does he do outdoor labor or is he just like sitting in an office?
We work in an office.
Okay. I think this is, you know, I think you could just say to him, I feel like this is such a tricky one. I'm like thinking, I feel like you want to, hold on, I'm just trying to think here, because if you don't want to shower with him, I think you just have to say,
I know,
it's funny because I've had this question a lot. I think you just say, babe, I love going down on you. It's so hot, whatever. But I just think I like to kind of wipe down before sex, like after the day. This is what you say. Ready, Rose? Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. My brain is like spinning with all these ideas. I think next time he comes over, does he come to your house or you go to his house mostly?
I go over.
Okay. You go to his house.
Yeah.
So I think you could either say, you could say on the phone, do you guys, are you text probably, right, beforehand?
Yeah.
You could say, I'm jumping in the shower, I'll be over, and you should jump in the shower too, because I can't wait to taste you or something. I can't wait to.
Good idea.
Yeah. Like, I'm jumping in the shower,
like
you should too, because I'm going to be like all over you. Like, I want to eat you for dessert or something like that and make it playful.
Okay.
So that's one thing. The other thing you could do is when you get there, you could be like, yeah, you know, you could just say to him, don't you want to shower after work? I feel like I always shower after work and I feel so much better. I feel so much fresher, whatever. And maybe he'll get the hint that way. Because here's the thing. And I know that in the show, I'm all about communication. People are like, you should just tell him he smells. And I just feel like men could take that a little better than women. But I feel like it's still a really touchy thing. So when he kisses, you could say, oh, you smell sexy, sweaty. You know, as soon as I kiss a guy and I'll be like, oh, you smell sweaty, sexy. Or, you know what I mean? And then like that might be a hint. And if he doesn't, you could say, you know what? When you guys start feeling around, say, you smell, like, I'm just wondering if you could maybe go wipe down or wash your hands and go kind of clean up. Because I do that before sex. And I just think it's really hot when you do that. And again,
I take my time to go take a shower before I go over to his. So why doesn't he, you know?
Right. I do think that you could say to him, I shower before I see you, and it would just feel really good to me, and it would make me feel cared for if you could jump in the shower before we have sex, and I can't wait to have sex with you. Like, you can even start making out with him and heating him up and getting him turned on, so it's not like you walk in and you're like, you didn't shower, because that's not hot. So I think it's kind of part of your foreplay, and you're like, okay, well, after you go shower, then we're going to continue, and you just kind of make it playful and have him jump in.
I think you guys
could jump in together. That would be really fun too. But you can
I
work
know,
up to that.
But yeah, maybe later.
Okay, good. So you got
maybe
that,
in the future.
Okay, have fun with it. Seriously.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling. Good luck with that. That's interesting, you guys, because I think that just listen to what I'm saying. I feel like, you know, cleanliness is it's important, and hygiene, and we're touching so many things all day long. We're at work, and we feel better when we shower. We feel better when we're clean. We feel more confident, and you never know when sex is going to happen. So why not always be prepared? We have Renee. She's 30 from Southwest Ohio, and she wants to talk about this mental block she has about having anal sex. Hi, Renee. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
I'm so excited. Yeah. So tell me what's going on. Tell me the story. You got a mental block around anal sex. Let's break it down.
Yeah. So first of all, really quick history. I've always been pretty, I don't want to say reluctant, but very closed-minded in what I considered sex and sexual. But thanks to your podcast, I have been a lot more open, exploring different things. So, it's really taken my sex life to the next level. And one thing that my boyfriend has always been really interested in is anal sex. He's always trying to stimulate the anus area, you know, during intercourse. And then I knew it was a big turn on for him, but it's always really freaked me out. So okay. I've always just said, absolutely not.
Right.
You know, recently I've been more open to things, and, you know, I'm actually starting to think about it. I've read a lot about it. I feel like it could potentially feel really good. I've read a lot of people that said, you know, it does feel good. Mm-hmm. So I want to try it. However, every time I think about actually doing it, I just get so really freaked out
by it.
I know it's a huge turn on for him, and he does so much for me to turn me on that I want to do something equally as turn on for him.
I got it. Okay, well, that's good. Well, let's talk about breaking it down then, because it sounds like, you know, the whole, when you think about it, you're like, oh my God, his penis is inside of my butt and it's giving you anxiety. So let's break it down into like smaller chunks. So if you think about it, you said that it does, he's trying to like touch you, and that's kind of the right way to do it. So I feel like that to take it into small chunks would mean that he should just start to stimulate your anus, you know, using some lube, using his fingers, and not actually going inside yet. So just you getting comfortable with how it feels, because there's a lot of nerve endings on the outside, so it could feel really good to you. Maybe not. I mean, I think it will if you're relaxed. So here's the other thing about anal sex. So first I want to tell you that I want to teach you different parts so you could break it down. But the number one problem, I think, with anal is exactly what you're saying, is that even people who want to have anal sex and they're really excited about it, or they, you know, they're ready, the problems come when we're too anxious and we don't breathe. And so the thing happens, what happens is when we tense up, right? And then you're like clenching, you know, your sphincter muscles, which is exactly what needs to be relaxed so you can enjoy anal sex. And so the practice of just like breathing and like relaxing into your body is just a great practice to have always, and especially when you're having sex, and then when you're moving into anal. So I feel like when he starts to touch you there, like, let him know, like, I'm ready to explore, but like, let's just start with touch. So you just be lying there, and it really helps to be turned on. So maybe you, like, he goes down on you and you have an orgasm, like a clitoral orgasm, or you have sex even, or it's rather than just like combining it, I think actually would be a great part of foreplay. And he could just start touching you with his finger, and you're breathing, right? You're consciously like deep breaths, right? Like all through your body, like in, you know, in through your nose, like out through your mouth, but you're like breathing down, like deep breaths to your pelvic floor. So you're open and you're not disconnected at all, right? And you just keep breathing. And then you see how that feels. And then he could like maybe stick a pinky in the next time, or like in the next week. And then you feel how that feels. And then you could try like a butt plug. And then maybe you could move into anal. I mean, I'm sure you said you've read a lot about it. We've talked about like ways to have anal sex on the show. But I think that if you go slow and you know that it's not just going to happen in one fell swoop, how does that feel to you? How does it sound to you?
So it sounds good. We actually have done, I did let him use a finger.
Okay.
I actually let him do it twice. The first time was not very enjoyable. We did use lube.
You didn't?
But it was,
okay.
It stung. It was like, yeah, it kind of, we used lube, but it kind of stung.
Oh, okay. You got to get the anal sex lube from Joe. Okay. Anyway, I'll tell you that after. Yeah. Okay. You need the right lube, and it stung.
It did better the second time that I let him do it, but afterwards it was just that whole idea that it just felt weird afterwards. Like mentally I felt weird, and that's why I realized this is just a mental thing,
right,
that I'm trying to get over.
So you're feeling like, because you're feeling there's some taboo around it, and that the butt's only for exiting, things exiting, not entering, that kind of thing, like it's really the next level of taboo. Is that what you think in your brain? You're like, that's wrong. You're violating.
I think so, yes.
Okay.
And, you know, like I mentioned a little earlier, you know, this, I have just gotten in more into like sexual exploration recently. So, I mean, there's been a lot of times that I've just had sex just to have sex, you know, and I've gotten past that and realized that I can enjoy it.
Yeah, good.
So this is still all very new for me. So I don't know if some of it's coming from that.
Well, I think maybe
if I just, like you said, maybe I just need to keep trying small things.
Yeah.
It turns me on to turn him on.
Right. And vice versa, I'm sure it turns him on, turns you on. That's super healthy. And here's the other thing. I want to take the pressure off yourself. First of all, Renee, let me tell you this. I'm so proud of you. And that's really amazing that you actually have listened to the show and you've been inspired and you actually see changes in your sex life. People go their entire lives and they have sex the same exact way over and over again. So the fact that you're like, I'm open and I'm doing more is amazing. So maybe we take anal off the table for a while. And you're like, you know what? That still makes me anxious and I'm not ready yet. And maybe you have this pressure, you know what I mean? And he'll be cool with that, I think. I mean, he should be. He's your boyfriend. And then see if you can kind of work it in, you know, later when you feel that it's better for you and you feel like it's the right time. And then I think it'll naturally happen because there's probably so many other things that would turn him on too, right? But you're focused on the one thing, you're not doing it, but yet you're doing all these other things, which is amazing. So maybe it's going a little too fast for you. You got to catch up with what you're doing with your body, like your head, your body have to kind of be aligned here. I don't want you to pressure yourself because it's really not about having to indefinitely use lube, always the right kind of lube. Like that's important. How does that sound?
Yeah. No, that does sound good. Maybe, I think you're right. I need to take the pressure off myself and just remove it out of my mind completely. And then.
And let him know.
Like baby steps until it feels okay.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe during masturbation, like if you want to play with it on your own and like use a finger, use lube, like when you're fantasizing, masturbating, and just so you get comfortable with it. Just like I always tell women to like, you know, explore their own bodies first because we know best what feels good to us. So you can kind of work that in. No pressure. Again, I don't want you to feel, but I think you're doing great work. So
yeah,
I would just go easy on yourself.
So I have a really short second part to my question. Also doing a little bit of, you know, thinking about this. I also feel like maybe because I've never actually had anal. I think the natural position is to be in a doggy style, similar position. And whenever I do that with regular intercourse, I mean, I know a lot of women really love it, but I don't enjoy it. It feels really tight. I can feel my vagina filling up with air, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah. And so
I don't know if that's, maybe I'm adding extra pressure on myself.
Oh, you're like linking
them.
Because
of that, I feel like it's going to be the same.
Mm-hmm. I got it. You're linking it up. I totally make sense. And I got to tell you something. It's it's a common position, but you can have anal sex lying on your back and you lift your legs up. It's like your missionary position, but his penis is going in your anus. You can also have it in the spooning position is another really popular first time position for anal. So doggy style, I think, is one of the options, but not the only option. And not as popular as people think, because you'd assume that it is doggy style. And maybe in porn it is more so. But you could definitely have it on your back or in the spooning position. So maybe if you just kind of reframe it like that, that might feel better to you too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And did you want to?
Great. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. But also the doggy style thing, I mean, did you want to go into why you feel anxiety there? Or do you just... I didn't know if you had a question about that or if it was just more about anal. I just want to make sure we're taking care of everything for you here.
that was the biggest, I mean, you know, it's been weighing on me a lot. I mean, we've been together for a really long time.
Okay.
So obviously he hasn't pressured me into this at all. He's been happy without it for a very long time, but it's still, I just, that was the main thing, but the doggy style. Yeah. It just, I feel like every woman just like raves about it, and
it's not something I've ever
been able to find enjoyment.
No,
from.
That's fine. You know, a lot of, I don't hear that. I hear that it's men rave about it, and women are like, some women like it, some women don't. But a lot of women just need more clitoral stimulation, so you might want to like use your fingers, hold up a small vibe. But some people just don't like how it feels. You're totally, that's completely typical. You're cool.
Okay.
You're good. You're all good. I'm happy for you. Keep doing you.
Awesome.
Take care of yourself.
Awesome.
Thanks, Renee. So good to talk to you.
Thanks, you too. I appreciate all the help.
Yes, you're so welcome. I love hearing from you. Thank you.
Bye.
Have a good night. Bye. That was interesting because her question was about anal, but we found two things out that we all assume that everybody else is doing sex a certain way and that we're failing, right? So Renee assumes that every woman's going to like anal or that every woman likes doggy style position, which... I don't assume that everybody likes anything, right? And so I think it's totally okay to say, you know what? That's not my thing. I've tried it. Doesn't feel right. And these other things do feel good to me. So that's totally okay. And I like that she's asking really about how to make anal sex better or how to make it enjoyable. But you shouldn't really rush into any sex act if you don't feel like you're ready and then it's your time. And also use a lot of lube. If I didn't emphasize that enough, use lube. And Joe has anal lube. How great is that? Yep, it's for anal sex. Okay, now we're going to take a quick break and give a shout out to our sponsors. Thank you for supporting them, and thanks for supporting the show, you guys. I love you. We'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, we have William. He's 43 from Colorado, and he's conflicted. Feels like his relationship has fallen flat with some major challenges going on. Hi, William.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to talk to you. So tell me about what's going on.
Okay. So we've been dating for a little over 2 years now. Mm-hmm. To kind of preset this, my wife passed away right before we started dating. She had cancer. So She had cancer for 14 and a half months. And at first, I didn't think I wanted to, date or go out or anything. But after about 2 weeks of sitting at home, I was like, I can't do this anymore. So I got on Tinder, started meeting some people, and I met this girl. And just from the instant we met, it felt there was a spark right away.
Mm-hmm.
And, and we started doing really good and everything for a couple months. And then it just started going flat. She was really distant with me. And after probably, 6-7 months after that, I started getting nosy, because before, when she would get distant with me, she would tell me she was talking to an ex or whatever. And then, so then I started getting curious, because then she wasn't telling me. So I started looking in her Facebook and stuff, and which that's what, where the sabotaging part comes in, is mm-hmm. if I was sabotaging myself by doing it.
Right.
I know she would never cheat on me. There's no
right
intimacy, no passion, no nothing.
So that's the problem, then, right? You're trying to find.
What, well, in between all the books that I've read and everything like that, it's like, we have a good relationship everywhere else, but in the intimacy department. And it's like, I read one book that had the 80-20 concept, would you give up the 80% that you have to go get the 20%, that you're missing, where, and you may miss out on that other 80%. And I just conflict with myself so many times. Like I said, I've read so many books mm-hmm. and listened to you and all of this other stuff that, with her talking to her exes, I feel like it's not in the benefit of us, because it's putting her where her relationships ended. She had people cheat on her.
I got it.
And stuff like that.
Okay.
And so it's, I just at a loss.
Okay. I got it. Okay. So let me understand this. So how long were you married to your wife for? 14 years, is that what you said?
We were married for 13 years.
Yeah. 13 years. And then you said that she passed away 2 years ago? 2.5 years ago?
2.5 years ago.
Okay. And that sounds like that was a really tough time, I'm sure. So, wow, you've been through a lot. And so then you started dating 2 weeks later, you started dating this other woman.
Yeah.
Which, okay, to me, there's a few things going on here. I feel like that's really soon to jump into something else. And I'm not sure that you've done all the healing that you need to do about losing your wife. That's pretty quick, 14 months that she was sick. And I understand that sense of being home and like not wanting to be alone. And like, it just feels so good to be with somebody, to be with anybody, you know, than to be alone with your feelings and grieving. And so that was the first thing I heard when you said this. You're like 2 weeks later. And it's pretty much a requirement, like this healing and this grieving process. Have you been in therapy at all? Have you talked to anybody about, you know, losing your wife? And
When she was sick, yeah, because, I mean, like I said, she had cancer mm-hmm. for 14 and a half months. We were told in the beginning it was non-curable. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I started grieving at that point because okay. the cancer she had was, she was only supposed to live 6 to 9 months.
Mm. Okay.
And, you know, and she lasted 14 and a half months.
Right.
So I was talking to a counselor through all of that because, you know, through the whole grieving process yeah. with the anger and all of that,
yeah,
you know,
good,
I went
okay.
through all of that process with, you know, through the counselor and with that.
All right.
You know, she tried setting me up with people that she knew mm-hmm. before she passed because she knew that if I didn't start seeing somebody that I probably wouldn't have been too far behind her because I wouldn't have taken care of myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't take care of myself the 14 and a half months she was sick because mm-hmm. of, you know, between working and
right.
taking care of her,
right.
you know, I didn't take care of myself.
Okay. So I'm glad that you did some work around that. And then, so you moved into this new relationship. And so with this woman, the sex was great at the beginning?
We've never had sex, but she would let me, you know, she would let me go down on her. She would go down on me. We would fool around. And then probably like 3 months into it, but 2 months into it, it just like stopped.
Okay, so she's been your girlfriend for 2 years, but you haven't had sex yet?
No.
Okay, so to me, I feel like maybe she's not your... I mean, that, don't you think that's interesting that you haven't had sex? Why do you think you haven't had sex?
Well, I mean, you know, every time we've brought it up, there's always been an excuse. You know, first it was she was unhappy in the place she was living in. Then it was, you know, her daughter was living with us because we've moved in and got a place to rent, you know, rent together. So we could, you know, cut down on.
Okay. So you taking care of her mostly? Are you paying for her life, her kids?
Yeah. Well, her daughter was there, and then her daughter moved to Hawaii, and mm-hmm. then I mean, it was just an excuse after an excuse after
yeah.
an excuse.
Yeah.
And
this doesn't sound like a really healthy relationship for me because I am telling you, like, you guys moved in together right away. You haven't had intercourse. Like, you have never had sex. You've only gone down on her a few times, and she's, you know, might be stringing you along and talking to her ex-boyfriends and. I don't know what, I mean, I didn't read the messages, but to me, it just sounds like it's not a healthy relationship. It doesn't even really sound like it's a relationship if you're not having sexual relations at all, or you're not having intimacy and you're not communicating very well. So I don't even think it's about fixing the sex life. I feel like you actually do need some time alone. The fact that you're living with her right after, you know what I mean? You were with your wife for 14 years. Do you know what I'm saying here? I feel like it's not about that. I feel like you need to live on your own. And learn how to take care of yourself and figure out what you really want in a relationship moving forward. But I don't think this sounds healthy.
Okay.
Okay? You should be having sex.
Okay.
You should want to. You've gone down on her a few times, you know what I'm saying? So I know that's tough.
I've gone down on her quite a few times. And, you know, and every time I do, I mean, she has an orgasm every time. And she's told me, you know, in the beginning it was once a night, once every night.
Right.
You know, could be in the morning, you know, but she has an orgasm.
No, that's great.
She told me that she's never had anybody give her oral or, you know, with the finger,
right.
give her an orgasm like I've given her.
Right. That's amazing. But I don't know why you guys aren't having sex. And how is she younger than you?
Pardon me?
Is she young? How old is she? You're 43. How old is she?
She's 46.
Okay. So she's older than you. Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, to me that you guys live together, you're not having sex. I feel like you need to, there's some changes you got to make in this relationship. So I would just be honest with her. Like, if you guys want to work on your relationship, work on the sex life. It's not even about the ex-boyfriends, but to me, it doesn't sound very healthy. And I'd really like you can take care of yourself. Like, and I think that would really help you right now to learn what that means, how to nurture yourself, how to take care of yourself. And then you'll be able to figure out what you want and move into a healthy relationship.
Okay.
Okay, William, can you do that?
I can do that.
Okay. That's what she got to do here. I don't like this. Doesn't sound good to me. She's not treating you well at all. And you
okay,
sound like
well,
a really loving man and you take care of her. Yeah. You need to be with someone who respects you and who loves you and who appreciates all the love that you have to give. And you're not with that person right now.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, William. Thanks for calling in. I got you. Keep me posted. Emily. Take care of yourself. Okay. Bye. Man, that is tough, you guys. But really, I think it's so hard. I'm so glad that I had a chance to talk to William, because really, a lot of times we're just sitting in these things by ourselves and we're trying to figure out what's wrong. And sometimes just saying it out loud and talking, like, William, this is not a girlfriend. You know, it's true. Like, we can make excuses. I think a lot of us do that. And so I think it's really helpful of him to pull back. And we have to realize, like, we deserve to be loved the way that we love, you know, and we deserve to be treated the way we want to be treated. And we all deserve that. And we can all have that. We just have to demand it. We have to realize exactly what we want and how we want to feel. So thank you, William. Okay, we have Mike. He's 27 from Chicago, and he wants some advice on some intimacy. And his wife might only want sex for procreation. So we need to talk to him about that. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, Emily?
I'm good. How are you? Tell me what's going on. How can I help you? Let's break this down.
Good. I've been with my wife for about 5 years now. We've been married for the last year and a half. And you just kind of consistently, you know, seen the trend kind of going down that, you know, we tend to be intimate a little less frequently. Mm-hmm. And then even when we are intimate, just kind of her desire or willingness to be open to trying new things, especially foreplay. It's one of the big things, you know, I'm really for foreplay.
Mm-hmm. And good. You're my man.
She just doesn't seem to ever really be super receptive of it. And over the past couple of months, I've kind of figured out that through conversations with her that kind of comes down to her. I feel like she has a very negative self body image.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just issues as far as lack of self confidence.
Right.
And I was just wondering if you had any suggestions on ways I might be able to help improve that.
Oh yeah. I mean, the thing is about self-confidence and body image, I mean, that's an inside job. So that's something that she's going to have to work on. And you can definitely be there and support her. And I'm sure that you tell her how beautiful she is and how attracted to you are, which is great. I think that we all want to hear that. But the fact that this circles around her feeling like she's not in the mood for sex because she doesn't feel great about her body is something that's probably been going on, you know, a long time, probably even before you guys got together. I don't know. Was there something that changed recently with her health or with her body or anything?
No, not really. I mean, you know, this is more just a general trend over out of the 5 years I've known her, the last 4 years, I kind of exclude these past 7 months, just because, we are expecting our first kid. So obviously, pregnancy affects, a lot of her hormones and whatnot. But even before,
right,
we decided to have kids, it's kind of still the same. It consistently kind of got a little less, a little more sporadic,
right,
a little less frequent. And just, a lot of the physical intimacy is kind of just, basic, hugging, touching, kissing, making out, not even full blown sex has kind of gone
dwindled
by the wayside.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Which is, just so you know, it's very typical for a long-term relationship. It's common for this to happen in a relationship, but it sounds like, also like you're wanting intimacy, you're wanting connection. And right now she's pregnant. So how many months pregnant is she?
She's now beginning her eighth month.
So she's close. So I think that really, I mean, there's got to be, I feel like it could be about body image, it could be a lot of those things. But also, I'm wondering if there's ways that she would like, that would make her feel more connected to you if you guys, I mean, right now with the kid, we can get into after the baby, it's going to be a little while. But what she's going to need from you is to really feel like you're there for her and you're holding space and you're supporting her and maybe just like giving to her and not expecting to receive anything back. So if it's, giving mm-hmm. her massages, like foot massage, helping her around the house when the baby comes, like being very responsive to all of that. Have you guys talked about your sex life? I mean, I know you said that you've kind of figured out that it's about body image issues, but does she, you've kind of brought it up to her before how important it is to you?
Yeah. We've been very open and you've been communicating a lot, over the last, especially the last 3 years,
mm-hmm.
Since I started kind of noticing a change. And, she says, a lot of it is, she just wants me to be more, more patient, and that it's just something that she's got to work on. Every now and then she'll say, we'll have talks and she'll say, okay, I want to do more of this. And then, the weeks will go by and, she'll keep telling me that she wants to do this.
Right,
stuff.
Right.
But,
well, it's really, okay, I got it.
Approach it in different ways.
I get it. It's really hard to change behavior. So, for example, what does she say she wants, she's going to do?
For instance, she says that she wants to, try giving me blowjobs more frequently.
Mm-hmm. Right. And she doesn't, because she doesn't even know where to start. Like, she's not in the mood. She walks in. So I feel like what we have to work on is you, like, getting her aroused. Because men and women are so different, right? Like, you're turned on. She's not just going to walk in and be like, I'm going to give you a blowjob, when she's not even thinking about sex. She's not feeling sexual. So that's why I think this all has to go back to you giving what you want to get. So more intimacy, more touching, more back rubs, with, like, even taking sex off the table. She's not just going to walk in and give you a blowjob. Like, it's just not going to happen. Like, I thought you were going to say, because what I think is she's got to get really comfortable with her body. So she actually needs to be, you know, masturbating more and touching herself and figuring out what makes her feel good. But she's probably not going to be doing that right now. She's going to have a new baby. So I feel like it's going to be stuff that you're going to be giving to her. And then maybe eventually some mutual masturbation. So you guys can both, like, you're there in the moment and you're both getting turned on together. Because again, it's this whole getting her turned on and aroused and ready for sex and making her feel comfortable and safe with you, like, nurturing, giving to her, and then she'll be able to give back to you. So I feel like it's the way you approach it. Like, having it, like if her, like, to-do list is blowjob, I don't think it's going to happen. It needs to be more of like a, let's just connect. I want to feel connected to you. I want to make you feel good, and figuring that out. Because once she feels good and she feels better in her body and she's, you know, enjoying sex and feels connected to you, then it'll just come right back to you, and you'll start getting those blowjobs and feeling connected to her. And if there's no change in it, you know, and if it really is like going on with her body image, just like, I mean, she gets some therapy, she could talk about it, but you can't solve it for her. Do you know what I'm saying? As much as you try and you love her. Okay. But I think that just
be patient, and you'll try to do you know, the variety of tips you said, you'll like massage
is amazing. Like, just say nothing. Yeah. What were you saying? Sorry, were you saying something else? Yeah, massaging her feet, nurturing, taking care of her, women, like, relaxing her. She's probably stressed out. Like, just getting rid of all that tension, drawing her a bath, like, doing those things for her that make her feel in her body and make her feel connected. And then your intimacy and your connection will hopefully come back. So it's just the approach. Okay, well, good luck and congratulations on the baby, Mike.
Well, thank you so much.
Keep me posted. Have a great night. Bye. Thanks. Bye. It's funny, I get a lot of emails from men who are expecting their first child or second child, and their wife is pregnant. I think it gives them time to, like, pause and think about, like, what's going on in our relationship? You know, what's really happening? And I think that a lot of couples kind of lose their way. They lose this connection that they once had and the intimacy. And I think that just like the anal sex thing, if you take sex off the table and you just bring back the touching, the cuddling, the kissing, you guys, like, why is making out one of the first thing that goes in a relationship? If you kind of bring all that stuff back and you work on that stuff, and the other sex will heal itself and will come around. So that's the case there. Thank you, Mike. Okay, we have Anthony. He's 31 from Boulder, and his girlfriend wants to try a male-female-male threesome. And he's a little on the fence. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm so good. How are you doing? I want to help you out with this. Tell me what's going on.
So my girlfriend and I have been dating for about 2 years, and we both have been in open relationships before. So, yeah, we started out our relationship, you know, kind of bringing others into our bedroom, so to speak. So we've had a lot of configurations of, you know, male, female, female threesomes, foursomes with couples, foursomes with just friends of ours.
You guys are a good time. And
participated in orgies before. So the next configuration that we want to try is male, female, male threesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't seem to wrap my head around the insecurities that I'm feeling going into actually, like, searching for a third to bring in.
Okay. Tell me about those insecurities. What are you feeling?
It's kind of weird because I haven't really ever felt these insecurities with other people that we've hooked up with before. You know, like, guys in a couple don't really give me any insecurities. But for some reason, just the idea of bringing in a third guy just, like, makes me feel uncomfortable.
Okay. Like, feeling like you feel like you're gay, or like you'd have to perform on him, or more like insecure about, like, your pleasure, like if he would please her more than you? Or because I know a lot of guys are like, I don't want another penis there, like, with me, you know, like that one dick in the room, you know. So
I don't think it's them pleasing her in a different way or better than I am, because I've seen her get pleased by many different individuals and I very much enjoy it. I think it's more the guy's intention in the threesome, and it might be just, like, the people that we've interacted with trying to bring them in.
Oh, okay. His intention. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think his intention could be? In your worst case scenario.
A lot of the time, so we found a lot of these potential thirds on, you know, social media, like social dating sites and stuff, like Tinder and Field.
Field is taking off.
Grindr.
Yep.
And just the feel, like the guys that respond, usually they just might not be quality guys. Like they try to flirt with her separately, text her separately, interact with her separately, and that's where I get uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm uncomfortable with her or thinking that she's going to leave me for these guys or something like that, but that it's not like a group effort,
right?
If you understand.
Okay, so here's my question: how's your relationship right now with your girlfriend?
Fantastic.
Okay,
it's absolutely great. She actually, we were dating long distance for about 3 months, and she finally moved here to Boulder, and she's been here for like, I don't know, almost a week. So
you guys have been together, you've been together 3.5 months?
No, we were separated for 2.5 months. We've been together for like 2 years.
Okay, got it. I just want to make sure, because sometimes if some of these insecurities could be coming because, well, you kind of got a sense that maybe she, you know, was dating or flirting with other men and you found it out. Because to me, like, you would have to have a lot of confidence to have like the orgies and the foursomes and all that. And the fact that this one, that there's some guys who seem like they're flirting and they're not being really respectful, to me is just like, I was thinking that maybe you guys were in a place that gave you pause or something happened where she was with another guy and didn't tell you, or there was like a cheating incident that's giving you a little insecurity around this. But it sounds like that didn't happen.
Yeah. I have been cheated on a bunch before, which I'm kind of thinking is, not by her, but by other women in my past, which is kind of,
well, that's what this sounds
maybe
like.
Maybe some of the insecurity is coming in.
Absolutely. That's where like that neural pathway in our brain, like you have that path. Like you're like, okay, this is triggering that. This is making me feel like she could cheat. She could leave me. These guys are cheat, you know, are saying these things. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of, it literally just takes like one person cheating on you. And I swear to God, that just can just stick with you until you are in a healthier relationship and you get to work it through. So it sounds to me like it's triggering that response. Because it seems like you guys are in a trustworthy place. You're not worried about having another, you know, guy there. It's really just about their intention. And so I think that if you're not finding the guys on the app, you know, maybe it has to be like in person. Or what you could do is, you know, you could just, you know, there might be like swinger party. You're in Boulder, right? There could probably be play parties, or you could just go meet people in person. Mm-hmm. But also you could just maybe agree to have coffee with the person first. And just like let them know, like, this is how we are. This is how we operate. Show up like united, you know, so you could find someone.
Right.
Yeah. Or maybe you're not ready yet either. Here's the other thing. I think this is like the theme of today's show, that we've had other callers too, that people, we pressure ourselves into things because we so badly want to please our partners and we want to do something that makes them feel good, but maybe we're not there yet. Like maybe you're just not there yet. Like maybe you'll have it eventually, because it sounds like you guys are doing a lot of fun things, but you're not ready for it yet. And I think it might be helpful to let her know that that's what you think it is. You know, and it might be a relief. And then she'd be like, oh, I get it, babe. Let's try to find someone who's a good guy, who isn't making those kind of moves that feel kind of sketchy. So I think you just got to be open and honest about it and don't pressure yourself into it if you're not ready, because that those situations never come out well, especially with sex.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay. Yeah, I just kind of feel a little silly that, you know, it's like the last hurdle. It's the only configuration that we haven't done yet.
You guys are amazing. You know, I mean, I feel like you'll do it, but what's the pressure? You know what I mean? Like, she just moved there a week ago. Finally, you guys are in the same place. It's really exciting. I feel like you're like, and now we have to conquer the MFM threesome. Like, I mean, I think you can and you will, but it sounds like, you know, this has come up for you and it's triggering some emotions that maybe you could talk to her about. And, you know, I think that there's other ways to find guys that aren't like that. You might have to keep looking though. But while you're looking to find that guy who doesn't kind of make those things known, maybe it's a guy who's in an open relationship himself. You know what I'm saying? Not just a single guy, but a guy who's in an open relationship who wants to experience this, or just someone that you trust, but you'll find that person. But also, you know, if this is your girlfriend, you love her, like, I think it'd be helpful to share with her that this comes up for you. That this is a spot for you that has some tenderness, and that's been an issue for you in the past. Just let her know that that's what it's about.
Yeah.
And it's not that you don't trust her.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I think you're going to get, this will happen for you, Anthony, soon enough, but just go easy on yourself and have fun. I mean, I don't even think I need to tell you that, but Jesus, sounds like you're having a great time. I love it.
It's fantastic.
You're my heroes.
So, yeah, thanks for the call.
Okay, of course. Thank you. Bye, Anthony. I think that that is the theme of the show. I think that we are all trying to pressure ourselves, and we want to please our partners, and we're trying to, you know, kind of advance to places where we're just not ready yet. And I appreciate that we all have so much love and we want to feel, you know, desired by our partners, but you got to listen to your body. I mean, you really, like, our bodies have all the information that we need. And I think a lot of us are just, we're so in our heads, we're not connected, and we don't even know why we're doing certain things, and sex doesn't feel good. It's like, that's where you get the information. So slow down, breathe, don't force yourself into any sexual situation that you're just not ready for. It's okay. Like I always say, there's not like a sex police that's going to come and knock on your door and say, you have not had a male, female threesome yet. What is wrong with you guys? You guys are all putting all this pressure on yourself. So first and foremost, feel good about yourself, where you're at with your partner. Talk to them a little bit more about this. I think they will respect you, understand you, and then you'll get more insight into yourself and you'll take the steps necessary that you need to really have that healthy sex life. Try that new thing when you're ready. No press, as I like to say, especially not the pressure on yourself. I think we're all really hard on ourselves, including me. I'm very hard on myself. But not right now. I love you all. I actually feel very good right now. That was a great show. Thank you, everybody, for calling and for emailing and for being available and just for being just amazing listeners and for reaching out. And I love reading all your messages and for following me on social media, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's all at Sex with Emily. And thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Jamie, our interns, Shannon and Miley, producer Lark and Michael. And thanks everyone for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.